Hey guys, it's Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
All right. Clap it up for Super Bowl week. We are the Dynamite Sports Podcast. I'm Dad, and I've got three sons, Tyler, Noah, and Trey, and they are really smart guys about sports, and they're here to talk to you about what's going on in the sports world, mostly about the Super Bowl, because that is the big topic this week everywhere around the world. So we are joined today by Big Brother Ty from Fort Myers. Ty, how you doing? All right. So Tyler is in Fort Myers at the Florida Gulf Coast University. He is our South Florida correspondent, and he's got a busy day ahead of him, Tyler. So you want to share with our listeners what you've got on the docket? It's all sports related.
Well, this afternoon at FGCU is homecoming Saturday, which is a little odd being that it's spring. But that also means we have a basketball doubleheader. The men's team hosts Bellarmine. The men's team has been disappointing this season. They're 10-15. But Bellarmine is 6-19, so that should be a nice way to start the weekend. And then the women's team is hosting North Alabama. The women's team is 20-4. They're currently slated as a 12 seed for the March Madness tournament. And that should also be a nice win.
Excellent.
In other news, though, before that, I have work, and I will be refereeing the FGCU men's club basketball game. So that should be an interesting transition.
So I do have to ask, Tyler, are there still wanted posters with your face on them in the frat houses from your refereeing first semester in flag football?
You know, I walk into the dining hall sometimes, and I'll see a face, and the face makes an ugly face at me. So we're definitely not at it's not DEFCON 1 anymore, but it's definitely not DEFCON 2.
All right. Well, you know, make sure you let us know if you tee anybody up, and if we have to send any help down there to be muscle for you. We want to make
I'll
sure
let you know.
You're safe.
I'm the private security team.
Right. Hey, so women's team. So Tyler plays in the band, in the basketball band. He's a saxophone player, and so the women's team, looking at the tournament, looking like a 12 seed. That means you might have the chance to travel, right, Ty?
As of the last updates, it looks like I would be headed to Louisiana State University. To play in Baton Rouge. The men's team would have to, at this point, win the tournament for the A-Sun, and that is looking less and less likely with every passing game, unfortunately. They do have an outside shot. They've turned it around in the last couple games. But most notably, they lost a 30-point game or 20-point game or something like that to UNF earlier this season, and they got blown out at home by Kennesaw State. So,
not looking so good there. So okay,
not looking great.
One more South Florida question. Big Miami Heat fan. You're only a few hours away from Miami now, and Miami
Heat. I've got my NBA Finals T-shirt on right now. Actually,
all right. So the Heat made a controversial trade, I guess, for Terry Rozier. They promptly went on a losing streak, but they've actually won four out of their last five, with Rozier being one of their top scorers in I think two or three of those games. So what are things looking like?
So Terry Rozier, for those of you that don't know, was a nice two-way guard for the Celtics. He was kind of their backup behind Kyrie Irving. And then he moved to Charlotte along with Gordon Hayward, and he has spent pretty much most of his career there. He's a nice addition. He's a primary scorer that will do nice things for them on the offense in the half court. And he also provides an interesting two-way element. I think he leads the team in steals since he got here. I think it's interesting because it allows Tyler Herro to not be the primary ball handler, which has been the issue with the offense. They traded for him in the middle of a six-game losing streak, and since they have lost, I mean, they've won four of the last five.
All right. So, and we're going to get a chance to go see the Heat live in action later on next month. So we'll make sure that we put that out on the social media so you guys can see our experience down there in Miami.
Another Kaseya Center.
Yeah. So another thing that's coming up too, Noah and Trey and I have a chance possibly to attend and get some access at a Cam Newton flag football tournament next week at Largo High School. So we're gonna see what type of access we can get, and if we can get any content for the pod, we'll make sure we share it here. Cam's been pretty outspoken lately, keeping himself in the news cycle, talking about Brock Purdy and game management. So we'll see if we can get some access to Cam behind the scenes at the flag football tournament.
Get a take, maybe get him on the podcast. Just kidding. No,
I think we'd have to talk to his people to get him on. But yeah, still,
you know, he has his own podcast.
He does. Yeah. So, you know, maybe he'll invite us on. I don't know.
Oh, the dreams we have.
All right. So, speaking of some news that came out of Super Bowl week, of course, we've been closely attuned to the Buccaneers. We talked about how they are, they've got some big free agents to sign. We talked about the free agent priorities in our minds last week. And one of the people that we did talk quite a bit about was Baker Mayfield. And Baker had a hot mic moment, Noah. And so what did we get from the hot mic moment with Baker kind of talking in confidence with Steve Young?
I mean, we already knew he wants to stay here, especially when they brought in his former offensive coordinator. They made sure that he got what he wanted to stay here. And as shown in that video, he wants to stay. And Cohen even said it, the new offensive coordinator, he came here because he wants weapons. Like Tom Brady, he wanted Mike Evans and he wanted Chris Godwin. So I think both of them are staying, actually. It's going to be a very big thing.
All right. And, you know, so some of the talk has been about whether or not Baker had some influence on that hire of Cohen as the offensive coordinator for the Bucs, and whether or not Mike is going to come back. But it does look like that those things are in the works and that Baker might be pulling some strings behind the scenes. So that would be really cool.
Between the Baker Mayfield hot mic and the Liam Cohen press conference, it sure sounds like everybody's coming back.
Yeah. It would be very, very much a great experience to watch it again, because those two are a great duo.
Yeah, and I think they've been very complimentary of each other, Mike and Baker. So I think that that pairing is something they want to happen. It's just a matter of Jason Light and the folks with the purse strings figuring out if they can get everybody what they want financially to make them happy and make them come back.
And Mike needs to get paid. In Tampa, he's always taking the pay cuts. He needs to get paid this time.
I agree. His time is worth it. All right. So another thing that happened this week down there, out there in Las Vegas, is the NFL honors. They gave out a lot of awards. Baker was up for player of the year, comeback player of the year. Didn't come across the line. But Trey has some thoughts about the NFL honors. So I'm going to kick it over to Trey. What do you got?
So I have a little segment that I would like to call "If They Didn't Win It, Who Would Have?" Where I say, if a player or a coach didn't win the award that they won, who would have? And so let's jump right into it. MVP. I think it would have been Christian McCaffrey if Lamar didn't win it.
Do you like McCaffrey over Lamar, or you just think that McCaffrey would have been?
I would take McCaffrey over Lamar, but it's kind of a hot take. But yeah, if Lamar didn't win it, Christian McCaffrey definitely would have. I would give him that. And so, for Offensive Player of the Year, I chose James Bradbury. No, I'm kidding. CeeDee Lamb. I mean, 135 receptions, most by wide receivers. He had the second most receiving yards with 1,749, and third in receiving touchdowns with 12. I think that's pretty fair. And then Defensive Player of the Year, Kadarius Toney. No, I'm kidding again. Deron Bland. I think Deron Bland, most pick sixes ever, and he had the most interceptions in the league. I don't think there's much to argue against him for it. That's about it. And then my hottest take that I think I have, Puka Nacua for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think that he had got snubbed.
I'm going to kind of agree with you on that. I mean, I do think that C.J. Stroud had a bigger impact on his team, but Nacua, I mean, I guess it's maybe because he came out of nowhere to me.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit surprised to see him snubbed.
I argue this is the greatest rookie wide receiver season ever, with the most receiving yards for a rookie ever with 1,486, and most receptions for a rookie ever, and ninth in the league with 105. And then Defensive Rookie of the Year, Will Anderson. I think that he was the winner, the clear winner. I don't think anybody was really that deserving of it this year. Will Anderson, the only real stat that I could find for him to justify it, was that he had the third best pass rush win rate in the league with 25.3.
I disagree. Yaya Diaby had the most sacks per game out of all rookies. He had 7.5 sacks in 7 starts. That's actually insane.
I would say overall, this defensive rookie class is one of the best we've seen in a long time.
Yeah. And Diaby ended
up. You think about Witherspoon, Diaby. You think about
Joey Porter Jr.,
Brian Branch.
Mm-hmm. So in the
defense, all guys that you could say got snubbed.
In the defensive rookie of the year voting, Will Anderson had 151 points. Second was Jalen Carter. Kobe Turner from the Rams was third.
Wow.
Devin Witherspoon was fourth. Brian Branch was fifth, and the one and only Yaya Diaby was sixth.
I think that it's so surprising that Brian Branch wasn't even a nominee.
Yeah, him and Diaby, because Joey Porter was, and he was 7. Like, it doesn't make sense. Kancey ended up being 10 also for the Bucks.
And then comeback player of the year, we mentioned him earlier a lot, Baker Mayfield. 17.7 total QBR last year, literally wore it on his back. And 4 total touchdowns. If you're wondering what I mean by he wore it on his back, he was the number 17 for the Rams. This year, he led his team to the divisional playoffs, had a perfect passer game, and 28 touchdowns this year. Now you're thinking, why not? Statistically,
the best game of his career.
Yes. And now you're thinking, why not DeMar? I argue that he did not come back. He recording 2 total tackles this year in comparison to 91 last year in 5 games played versus 15 last year.
All right,
I think that DeMar should be up for a comeback player of the year for next year as well.
That's completely fair.
When a guy literally died. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
I mean, he's still playing at an NFL level, too.
It's rather unprecedented. I think in a traditional year under normal circumstances, you know, the Baker Mayfield story, the Flacco story definitely play as the comeback player of the year. But, I mean, having never been through a player that's been in that dire of a health situation on the field, I think that does stand out. Good for Joe Flacco, you know, to get get some flowers on the way out of his career. It's been a long career. But to me, I mean, coming off the couch for 4 games really doesn't warrant a comeback player of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too, because he only played for December. That's it.
Plenty of guys played a whole season and made huge strides over their past performance. So
Flacco played the same amount of games last year that he did this year.
He just did better. Better.
I guess you're comparing apples to apples then in that case. So.
And then I'm just going to end it with Coach of the Year because most of the awards that they had didn't really matter, if I'm going to be honest. Man of the Year, it does matter. But then, like, Fan of the Year, Play of the Year, it's exactly. That's what Noah
said. It's time filler make a 2-hour show or 3-hour show.
Exactly. Coach of the Year, I picked 2. I had D'Amico Ryans or Dan Campbell.
Can I give you something, Trey?
What?
At number 1 was Kevin Stefanski with 165 votes, right?
Yeah.
At number 2 was D'Amico Ryans with the same number. They tied, but because Stefanski had 21 votes for number 1 and Ryans had 20 votes for number 1.
Oh, wow. It was really close.
It was really close. Oh, my God.
Stefanski pulled it out off the tip of his tongue.
So...
The tip of his tongue.
Like Lightning Queen.
By a fingernail. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Lightning Queen. Uh-huh. Yeah, Lightning Queen. He sticks out his tongue and he ties with the king. And chick kicks.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, miracle worker by D'Amico Ryans to have the season that he did. But I also do think, I mean, Stefanski deserves credit because of the number of injuries, and he did it in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 4 different quarterbacks this year.
I mean, quote from 2 players that are Cleveland greats, Myles Garrett and the one and only LeBron James. Cleveland, this is for you.
So, D'Amico Ryans' team had 13 losses in the past 2 years and led his team to the playoffs this year. And then Dan Campbell led his team to the playoff berth the first time in 30 years, and he is, let's just say, very confident.
All right.
Yeah.
Cojones.
Well, thank you for that analysis, Trey. And
No problem.
I think the NFL honors are great to debate and talk about, and it gives us lots to talk about. But the thing we really need to talk about is the Super Bowl. It is Super Bowl week. Of course, there's a media circus around Super Bowl week. We are not big time enough to be there at Radio Row, but we can still talk about what's going on around the Super Bowl. And this year, there's a lot of star power around the Super Bowl. So I've got a little question to ask the boys. And that is, I've got a couple of, I'm not even calling them athletes, but there are some stars that are surrounding the Super Bowl. And I want to know from a media perspective, who is going to have the biggest influence on the viewing experience of the Super Bowl. So my four people you can choose from are Patrick Mahomes, Usher, Taylor Swift, and Jason Kelce. Taylor Swift. Do you think is going to, can you give me a chance? Who is going to have the most impact from a media perspective? We'll kick it to Noah since he already prematurely spurted that one out there.
Taylor Swift.
She's going to get the most camera shots out of the whole game out of those four. We have to count it because she's going to get on the camera at least 13 times. Touchdown. Let's go to Taylor Swift for the analysis. I mean, like, every little thing.
Among the others, yes. I think Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be on camera more than her, but
I still think she's going to be on it more.
Taylor Swift has been on camera for 0.046% of the games that she's been to.
Taylor Swift over under 15 camera shots. Oh. I'm taking the over.
Trey, who do you got in my four that I gave you?
Just kidding. I can't legally bet, guys. Don't take my advice.
Okay.
No, but I do agree with Taylor Swift because she has lots of haters and lots of likers. Because there's people like, stop showing Taylor Swift. I just want to watch the game. And there's also people like, Taylor Swift, yeah! And so that's why I think she's going to get the most media attention. While players like Jason Kelce, nobody hates Jason Kelce, right?
No, I think he's one of the most likable people in America right now.
Yeah, unless he takes off his shirt. It's going to be Taylor Swift's.
Well, I wonder what the over-under is on Kelce keeping the shirt on. Ty, what do you got amongst my four?
I would say absolutely that Usher is going to provide us with probably one of the greatest Super Bowl halftime performances of all time. I think he has a lot of great music. He's got a lot of hits with a lot of different artists that are sampled and that are featured. And so I think that Usher will probably have, we'll say, a top 15 Super Bowl performance of all time by the end of the night.
All right, and I'm going to go with the dark horse. I think Jason Kelce's going to come out of this with an elevated status again. I think he's going to do something crazy, take his shirt off, or party with some people in the stands, and he's going to come out of this with an elevated profile. So I'm going to take Kelce out of the four as my person. All right, moving on. Another favorite topic of ours is Super Bowl snacks. So we love going over to Mimi's house, and she has the most awesome spread of snacks during the Super Bowl. So I want to go around the table. I asked you guys last year. I'm going to ask you again. What is your favorite Super Bowl snack? Noah.
For me, it's always the layered dip if there is one. I mean, it's so good.
What are your layers? What are the layers that you like?
It's got to be cheese. There's got to be sour cream. I mean, there's got to be beans. I think those are the major three that there've got to be in there.
Salsa, guac, all of them.
are you co-signing on the layers, or you got your own snack, Trey?
I like the layers, but I think the dark horse in this one is the chicken wings.
Chicken wing, hot dog and bologna.
I mean, like, they just smack. There's no other way of saying it. Chicken wings are really good.
Well, then I'm going to take a bow because that's my favorite one too, and I'm making them this year. I'm smoking some chicken wings. Yeah. We're going to go with the lemon pepper. We're going to go with the smoky barbecue, and so that is going to be that's my favorite snack as well. So Trey, we're on board with that. Okay, so now to the big game itself. All right, we've done all the stuff around the big game. The big game itself, 49ers, Chiefs in Las Vegas for all the marbles. So I want to talk to you boys about Super Bowl matchups because I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams. I think the line says it. So what do you think is a matchup in this game that is going to make the difference in a win versus a loss? So Trey, I'm going to kick it to you first this time.
I think it's the Chiefs wide receivers versus the ball. If they can catch it, that's just the game. I mean...
The wide receivers versus the ball. I like this matchup. I do agree with you. I wonder if Tony will be active also, so that might help them in that matchup.
Mm-hmm. I've got two key matchups, especially with what happened last year. My first one, obviously, should be the field. Because last year, if we remember, the field was really bad because they did this new grass or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it messed them all up. It messed every single player up on that field.
So grass versus cleats?
Yeah, grass versus cleats. And then my second one will be the Chiefs' offensive line versus that defensive line.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa went out in an interview and said that they hold a lot. And obviously, former Buck Donovan Smith.
Donovan Smith
went, yeah. He just agreed. He mm-hmm. didn't deny it at all.
Mm-hmm. Additionally,
Juwan Taylor went and said, oh, nah. And, like, literally, both of them combined are the two most penalized players in the entire league.
Additionally, Joe Thuney is out for the Super Bowl.
Starting to sound like the Bucks-Chiefs matchup, where the Chiefs had some injuries along that O-line that made a difference. I know that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done a good job of building up that front seven there in San Francisco, and that's one of the reasons why they're such a good team.
And my game changer will be Arik Armstead. He's going to destroy that little piece of their offense that's gone. They've lost Thuney for the Super Bowl, so he's going to completely tear them up. I think he's going to have the over on sacks.
All right. Well, my matchup is going to be the Chiefs linebackers against Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan's offensive schemes, he has all these guys that are positionless. You know, you can line up a running back, wide receiver, tight end. You got Kittle, you got McCaffrey, you got Debo, Ayuk. And he does a lot to try to use misdirection and use open space in the field. So I think it's going to be the eye discipline of that Chiefs defense and Shanahan doing some sleight of hand to get them out of position to get some big plays for the 49ers. I think that's going to be the difference maker in this matchup.
I think the other way for mine, too, works as well. The Chiefs have the worst rush defense out of a playoff team. And McCaffrey and Debo, they're the best running duo in the league. So I think that'll also be a really easy thing for the Niners to exploit.
Imagine if the Niners kept Raheem Mostert. That offense would be unstoppable.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting change of pace for McCaffrey. Tyler, what's your favorite matchup?
I think the matchup to watch is going to be that Kansas City offensive line. We've seen them definitely struggle over the last couple of weeks, and I think that that unit also struggled in their last Super Bowl appearance against the Bucks. I guess not last Super Bowl appearance, but, you know, last couple of Super Bowl appearances. And that 49ers front seven is absolutely the best front seven in the game right now. They've been dominant against pretty much everybody they've seen. And so that is the matchup to watch, I would say.
All right. So we are here. We are at the moment of truth. It is the time for you guys to stake your flag in the ground and make your Super Bowl pick. We've talked about the matchups. So we're going to go around the table. I'm going to start with Trey. Trey, Super Bowl pick, Niners, Chiefs. Who you got with a score?
Niners. They're just a better team. I'm sorry for the Swifties. The crybaby Kermit the Frogs, the Chick Hicks fans. I'm sorry, but Niners 29-30.
All right. How about Noah? What do you got in the Super Bowl?
I think the Niners are 100% the better team. They have the more well-rounded team, but I think Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are paying those refs, and oh, I think it's going to be a W.
Oh, the refs.
Chiefs.
That's a good W. That's a good factor.
And you have to give us a score.
27-24, Chiefs.
All right. So back to me. I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to win that battle against the Chiefs linebackers, and so I'm going to take the Niners, and I'm taking them 31-28. Tyler, you're going to close us out with your picks.
This season, I do not trust the NFL to keep this game straight. I don't keep them in high esteem when it comes to not fixing games in this playoff run. We've seen the Chiefs get some questionable calls go their way so far in every game. And so I would absolutely take the Chiefs here. It'll be a close one. It'll be a nail-biter. It'll be 31-28. And I would also predict that this comes down to either the final drive or a controversial call within the final two drives.
All right, so that's what we've got for this week for the Super Bowl. We're going to be watching along with the rest of America. You can follow us on our social media, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, and we're going to be making comments and posting on social media this weekend, watching the game with you as well. Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday, and we will see you next week.
Back out to